Well, I wonder what characteristics you inherited from your parents. And no doubt there are many physical characteristics. I'm told that I talk and walk like my dad. But thankfully, I have so far avoided the bald patch, which I'm quite pleased about. And yet we don't just inherit physical characteristics, do we? There are also characteristics of personality, of values, behaviours, even some tastes and passions may be inherited, like a passion for football, perhaps, passed down the generations. These inherited characteristics can be genetic or learned. And so for good or bad, most of us end up surprisingly like our parents. Now, that's why my grandma had her wise advice of always look at the mother when choosing a wife. She thought it gave a good indication of what a potential wife would turn into. And it's not bad advice, is it? It's not bad advice. I know it's not always the case, and some of you may be quite glad it wasn't, but it's not always the case. But she's got a point, hasn't she? We tend to inherit many of the characteristics of our parents. Now, some of what we inherit can be good and helpful. Maybe you inherited their honesty or their sense of adventure, their kindness and generosity, or their hard work ethic. And yet I suspect we've also inherited characteristics that are not so good. I've come across people who know that by the time they get to a certain age, they expect to be dying of cancer because of the genetics they've inherited. For them, they can feel trapped and cursed by what they've inherited. For others, it can be more about inheriting poor attitudes or behaviours. Those characteristics that perhaps as a teenager you saw in your parents and swore that you would never adopt, and yet now you find yourself doing them. We can feel trapped in a family cycle of inheriting and continuing poor characteristics, feeling destined to go the same way. They might be characteristics like a grumbling attitude that just continues down the generations. Or they can be much more serious, like inherited characteristics that lead to depression and possibly even suicide. There are families where again and again, in each generation, suicide keeps on happening. And it can feel almost inevitable for the next. Or there are forms of abuse or addictions that get inherited from one generation to the next. And family members can feel almost powerless to break the cycle as they are drawn into repeating their parents' past. I have no doubt we have all inherited many good things from our parents, but we have also inherited poor characteristics. Some may be very bad or tragic, and we can feel trapped in them, perhaps wanting to change, but feeling powerless to do so, without hope. Well, this passage we are looking at today is all about our inheritance of bad and tragic characteristics. It tells us this problem we all have is very real and worse than we might imagine. But it also reveals a genuine solution and true hope in overcoming them. But the passage doesn't look at inherited characteristics at the level of our own personal issues. It looks at this problem at a much bigger and broader scale. So I need you to come with me and zoom out from the characteristics you have personally inherited from your family. Zoom right out to a view of all humanity. A view of all humanity right now from its beginning until now. We'll be zooming back in later and bringing it back down to our own situations. But first, let's zoom out to the scale of the whole of the human race. And first, to the start of the human race. The Bible is clear that whatever processes were used by God to make humans. People were created in the image of God. Which means in many ways, humans were made like our good and perfect God. As a result, we still inherit many good and godly characteristics. And there are some of those characteristics in each of us. But since the fall of the first man, Adam, there have also been some dreadful and tragic characteristics that have been passed down throughout humanity. They are the characteristics of sin and death. If you look down at our passage in Romans chapter 5, look down. That's what it says in verses 12 to 14. That's what those verses are about. Have another listen as I read them to you. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Now, I know it's a tricky and intricate passage, but once you've penetrated the language, Paul is actually giving us a big picture overview of humanity. From the days of Adam to Paul's present day. And the big picture basically goes, in the beginning was Adam. This is Genesis chapters 1 to 3 stuff from the first book of the Bible. And Adam was the first man. He was created good in the image of God. But he chose to rebel against God. He disobeyed God's instruction not to eat the fruit on one particular tree. He broke God's command. And so disobedience and rebellion against God, the doing of ungodly things, came into the world. Sin came into the world. And it was the one man, Adam, who started it. That's the beginning of verse 12, isn't it? Sin entered the world through one man. And God had warned Adam in the garden that sin would carry the punishment of death. And so in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned. Along with sin came death. Adam was the first one, but his characteristics of sin and death have been inherited by all people from then onwards, down and down the generations, still to this generation today. And we can see that we've inherited Adam's characteristic of sin because we all sin. We all fall short of God's perfect and holy standards. And whether we know the written laws of God or not doesn't really make a difference. That's what verses 13 to 14 are about. Because we all still sin. We all do ungodly things before God. And so we all face the curse of death. And we can also see that we've all inherited Adam's characteristic of death, because we will all die. Up until I was about 30, I thought I was living, and it was a big shock to me when my hair started going grey, and it now becomes more and more obvious to me that I'm actually slowly dying. I see it in myself, and I'm sure you see it in you too. We have all inherited these dreadful characteristics of sin and death. Because of the one man, Adam, sin and death has affected everyone. Humanity has been passing down these dreadful characteristics to every new generation, and we are trapped in them. And we should feel cursed by what we've inherited, because we are powerless to break the cycle. Doomed by our sin and death characteristics. And yet the great news of this passage is that we need not despair, because there is hope. Look at the end of verse 14 with me. It says, Adam, who was the pattern of the one to come. You see, there was another man to come. And as it says at the beginning of verse 15, he came as a gift, and with a gift. A gift that was not at all like the sin and trespass the first man had brought. And as you read on through verses 15 to 17, Paul explains the contrast between these two men. The one man, Adam, brought death into the world because of his sin and trespass. His introduction of sin into humanity brought God's judgment and condemnation to everyone. But the one man, Jesus Christ, well, he is not like that. He brought a gift into the world, not a curse. And the gift he brought was to die on the cross, taking the condemnation and judgment that sinners deserve. His free gift, out of utter kindness, was to pay the price of sin and to take away the curse of death, so that God's grace, his undeserved blessing, could be given to people. Sinners who are in the wrong with God and face death could be justified, made right with God, forgiven and pardoned by God, and live forever with God, going God's ways. Through the one man, Adam, came sin and death. But through the one man, Jesus Christ, came the complete reversal. Because of the one man, Jesus Christ, comes forgiveness and pardon, right standing with God, and life forever. That's what verses 18 and 19 conclude. Why don't you take a look at those with me as I read them out? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass, that's Adam's sin, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness, that's Jesus dying on the cross, one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. We have zoomed right out, and Paul has given us a big picture overview of all humanity. And his point is that all humanity stands in relationship to one of two men. All humanity, if you like, is divided into two camps. There's the in-Adam camp or the in-Jesus camp. And by default, we're in Adam. We are associated with him because we are part of his family, and we have inherited his dreadful characteristics of sin and death. They are characteristics that began with his one trespass, and now we are all sinners in the family likeness, condemned to die and face God's judgment. We bear the inherited characteristics and are trapped in facing the consequences. But there is another man who brings hope and a gift. And for those who choose to be in Christ, for those who become part of his family, live in his camp, there is justification, forgiveness, and right standing with God. There is pardon for our sins and our record wiped clean. There is a new start on offer, and the help and guidance and strength to do it. And so followers of Jesus are no longer ruled and determined by the characteristics they inherited under Adam. In Christ, their past does not need to dictate their future. The characteristics have been superseded, overcome, reversed entirely thanks to Jesus. And believers are given and are now free to gain the characteristics of Jesus. It's as if followers of Jesus have been adopted out of the troubled home of Adam and into a new family, the good family of God. They are now free to take on a new family likeness. Of course, some of those bad characteristics inherited from the old family may still continue for a while, or perhaps even a long time if they're deeply ingrained. But in this new family, they are given the forgiveness and the love, the encouragement, empowerment and support to turn away from those old ways. They have the security and confidence that comes from already being a full member of the family, and the assurance that one day they will be fully in the family likeness. Because in heaven, the old characteristics of a fallen Adam will be done away with entirely. And those who are in Jesus' family, for them, there will be no more sin and death in heaven. Paul has given us that big picture overview of all humanity. And it's a humanity that divides everyone into one of two camps. There's no sitting on the fence, because by default, we're already in Adam. We've already inherited his characteristics of sin and death. And so as we begin to zoom back into our own lives, the first question you need to be asking yourselves is, are you in Christ? Do you stand in his camp? Are you following him? Are you part of his family? Because I'm afraid it's already too late to avoid inheriting Adam's characteristics and avoid inheriting the consequences that come with it. But it's not too late to do something about it. It is not too late to do something about it. And all you need to do is turn to the other man, Jesus, and accept his gift. And what about those things we were thinking about at the beginning? Like when we've inherited family characteristics from our own families that we feel trapped by, inherited attitudes or behaviors where we feel powerless to break the cycle and have been drawn into repeating the past. Sadly, we don't have time to think in detail about these things in this morning. But let me give you a few brief pointers. The good news of this big picture is that our past does not need to dictate our future. Jesus has overcome our greatest inherited problem of sin and death. And so he is able and willing to help us overcome our inherited problems, our other inherited problems. In Jesus, we can be given forgiveness and the power to break the cycle. In Jesus, we have his strength, a new way to live and a new hope that can help us overcome those poor, bad, or possibly even tragic characteristics we've inherited. I'm not saying it will be easy. Growing out of our old family likeness and into our new may not be easy. But I am saying Jesus will help us. To begin now, and one day in heaven, to be fully free of them. In Christ we are changed, and our past does not need to dictate our future. And what about those things we were thinking about at the beginning, like those who have inherited a genetic makeup, which may bring suffering or premature death? Now, I'm not saying that being in Christ will automatically take away suffering in this life, though he may to an extent. But what I will say is that in Christ we have confidence and hope even in suffering, even as we face death, and knowing that we are right with God and looking forward to eternal life with our Father in heaven. Because what we've inherited in this life does not need to dictate our eternal future if we are following Jesus. And so as I finish, why don't you take a moment to reflect and pray about these things? If you are a follower of Jesus, then it would be great to give thanks for the fact that whatever your poor inheritance has led you to do, you have been forgiven and are now right with God. And you could also thank God for the many godly characteristics that you've inherited. But in particular, I'd like you to reflect on your lives and take a moment to think about those poor or bad or maybe even tragic inherited characteristics which still persist. And ask Jesus for his power to overcome them and his wisdom for how you might achieve that. Why don't you take a moment to pray and think about that?